Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast as Pastor Trey Kelly leads us in this series, A Place to Call Home.
All right. Well, as I mentioned earlier, man, last week was, it really was a pivotal moment in the life of our church. It really was, as families came together and committed to sacrifice and to do what they could over the next 3 years to help us create a place to call home. And as we said throughout the entire series, we did it for one reason. We did it so that we could see more lives changed, right? That's kind of been our, what we talk about here at Wellspring. It's all about life change. And what we've been talking about for the last really month and a half was that how through our generosity, God could change lives. But what I want to talk about today is actually a different way that God can change lives, because he does through generosity, and we're so glad you've been generous, and we hope you continue to be generous. But today, I kind of want to make a shocking statement, and then we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about it, okay? Here's a shocking statement. Every one of you in this room right now, every single person, me, every single person in this room, has the power within us to radically change someone's life for the better, like that. You're looking at me like, I don't know about all that, dude. But honestly, what I want to do today, we're going to spend our entire time trying to, and I'm going to try to convince you as best I know how, that that's true, that you have the ability to radically transform someone's life. In fact, my goal today is that this Christmas, you'll realize that you can radically change the lives of those around you. Because you can. Now, before you start arguing with me in your head, and before you start saying, I'm not sure that's true, you don't know about me, you don't know what I've done, I don't have enough money to do that, I don't have enough power, I don't have enough influence, I'm just a teenager, what can I do? Before you start coming up with all the excuses, let's just pause for a second, right? Don't come up with the excuses. Just imagine if what I'm saying is right. Don't worry about if it's true or not, but just imagine if it is. Just imagine how it would feel if you had the ability within you to actually change someone's life for the better. And if it were true, wouldn't you want to do it? And hopefully, unless you're like a Grinch, the answer is yes, right? We love this idea of changing lives. You know, think about like half the reality shows on television that are good, not like the Housewives shows, but the reality shows that y'all kind of like kind of the basis of all those shows is life change. Right, like think about like my favorites were Move That Bus is what it was. Move That Bus. Somebody scream it out. What was that called? Extreme Home Makeover. Thank you, dude. Like I'd be bawling halfway through, man. Like, you know, you see this family and you hear these amazing stories and all these struggles, and then these people would just come in and they just radically change their life, and then they'd move that bus and. Did you see the bus? Oh, it's the past. You know, but I mean, but the reason we like those stories is because we like this idea as humans, as human nature. We get excited when we see people's lives change. We get excited when we see people becoming, you know, having things change for the better. We get excited about that. It's why we watch the singing shows, not the first couple of weeks where their parents lied to them and told them they could sing, but like when it gets better, you know, like we like that. We like it when it's, you know, somebody from a small town in North Carolina. Have you noticed that they're all from small towns in North Carolina? Like maybe Hollywood should just go to North Carolina and like, because they're all from small towns in North Carolina. But you see these people and you see their lives change, right? You like movies. We call them feel-good movies, right? The feel-good movies are the movies that, I mean, I'll be real technical term here, they make you feel good. And the reason they make you feel good is because we get to see these people's lives changed for the better, right? So we all kind of like this idea, this concept. We love to see people's lives changed. We love to see people's lives improved. And what if you had the power and the capacity within you to do that? Forget whether you think you do or not, but if you did, wouldn't you use it? Aren't there people in your life right now? Friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, where, man, if you could snap your fingers and just improve your life, it would make your Christmas. Well, see, I believe that every one of us in this room do have that opportunity. I believe that this Christmas Eve, God is giving every single one of us an invitation to join him play a part in changing someone's life forever, in changing someone's story. And what I want to do today is we're going to turn to a guy named Paul. We talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring. Paul wrote about half the New Testament. And Paul was a pastor, and Paul would go around and he would start churches. And then Paul would write letters to those churches to really give them instructions on how to live their life. And here's the amazing thing about Christians, right, and what God's done for us. We believe that God himself was speaking through Paul when Paul wrote these letters. And so we believe that we can read these letters that Paul wrote almost 2,000 years ago. And we can read them, and we can know how God wants us to live our life. And that's why they have value to us. And that's why we turn to these letters. And in the book of Romans, which was a letter Paul wrote to the church in Rome, because they were really creative at naming things in the Bible, he wrote two letters to a guy named Timothy. You know what they're called? First and Second Timothy. Thanks, Paul. He didn't have time to name things, I guess. He was busy, you know, changing the world. And so, right? But in this letter, Paul kind of explains this concept that I'm talking about of how we all have the capacity within ourselves to change someone's life forever. Now, quickly, before I get to the text, because that's the most important part, before I get there, I want to say one thing. I want to address all the guests in the room, because I know every week we have guests, and I love that. People bring their friends to Wellspring. I love that we have people who attend our church that don't believe in God, and you're kind of checking things out, and I love that you feel safe here. I want to go ahead and let you know, most Sundays, my message is pretty evenly geared towards people that don't believe in God and people that do believe in God. Today, it's a little more geared towards people that believe in God. Right? Because I'm going to talk to them about something that I believe all of us who believe in God are called to do. So if you don't believe in God today, great news. You're off the hook today. Like literally, you can check out. What I would encourage you to do is to watch the Christians squirm as I tell them what they're supposed to be doing. Right? It's really fun. It's really fun. The only thing more fun than when I talk about this is when I talk about money. That's great to watch them squirm about. But here's what I would say. If you're here today and you don't believe in God, here's what I would say. I want to invite you to lean in today and to listen and to really pay attention, because what I hope you're going to hear is the lengths to which the God of the universe went to make himself known to you. And I know you don't believe in him yet. I know you think we are crazy and we're just praying to a man in the sky. I understand that. I know you don't believe in God, but here's the thing. God believes in you, okay? And I believe he has you here today for a reason. And I'm not saying he's going to change your life and you're going to walk that aisle and you're going to cry and all that kind of stuff. But all I'm saying is this. I believe that God could have something for you today that's going to soften your heart just a bit and say, okay, I don't believe yet, but I don't not believe as much as I used to. And that's all we want. That's the goal. So I hope if you're here today and you don't believe in God, you'll still lean in and you'll still listen to what we're going to talk about. And if you're here today and you do believe in God, what we're going to talk about today is something that everyone who believes in God is called to do. And it's something that if you're here today and you believe in God, someone did this for you. And so the question we're going to ask today is, will we do it for someone else? Because we're really going to talk about one simple act. It is so simple. It is so easy. We're talking about 30, 45 seconds, a minute tops. Some of you will take 5 minutes because you talk a lot. But I'm talking 30, 45 seconds, a minute tops. A simple act that we get to join with the God of the universe to change someone's life forever. So let me go ahead and show you what I'm talking about. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Romans. We're going to be in Romans chapter 10. And if you grew up in church like I did, I grew up in a Baptist church. If you grew up in church like I did, especially in the Baptist church, we're going to look at Romans 10, 9 and 10. We learned these verses, Jack. Like, these verses were seared in our brains. Like, we learned them early, we learned them often, and they're fantastic. Here's what it says, Romans 10, 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's, if you're here and you don't believe in God, you love that word, right? Saved. That word just gets tossed around. You got to get saved, brother. You got to be saved from hell. You got to be washed in the blood and be saved, right? And it's kind of lost its meaning. But I want you to see, Paul says it. Paul says saved. He says saved. He says, if you believe in your heart that God, you'll be saved. And he continues, for it's by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. And it's by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. See, I don't want to say saved less. I want to say saved more. I just want you to understand what it really means. We talk about this all the time here at Wellspring, and if you have had your life changed by God, you know this to be true. See, we call this the gospel. We call this the good news, right? And the good news is this, is that Jesus came to save us. See, I say this all the time. The gospel isn't that Jesus came because we were bad, and he came to make us good. Jesus came because we were naughty, and he came to make us nice. Jesus came because we were dead, and he came to bring us back to life. That is the good news. That is why we say we are saved. Now, why were we dead? I know some of you are asking, why were we dead? Let me quickly explain. All of us in the room were born pre-wired to mistrust God. We were born believing we were smarter than the God of the universe. We were born believing we didn't need him and that we could live life without him. And so that's how we lived our life. We said, no, thanks, God. I'm going to do it my own way. I got this. I'll call you if I need you, but I'm not going to need you because I'm smarter than you. And we did things our own way. And unfortunately, we were born this way, and we continued into this thing that we call sin, right? Everybody's favorite word in church, sin. But a sin is simply anything we do that God does not want us to do, anything that is outside of his will and his plan for our life. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. Everybody has made these mistakes, and everybody's rebelled against God, okay? Now, here's the problem. God is perfect. God is something we call holy, which means he is set apart, right? And God cannot be around sin. Now, see, God created us to love us, have a relationship with us. But he created us. He gave us this great place to live. Adam and Eve said, no thanks, we'll take the apple. They rebelled. I don't know if it was really an apple, by the way. That's just what everybody says. But they rebelled against him, and so sin entered the world. And we were separated from God because God can't be around sin. In fact, here's the crazy part. The only thing God can do to sin is destroy it. That is literally the only thing he can do with sin. Destroy it. So let's just extrapolate that out. God created you to love you. You rebelled. You sinned. You're a sinner. God can't be around sin. God can only destroy sin. God could only destroy you. And God could only destroy me. That was the only thing he could do. Until he said, you know what? I love him. I'm going to rescue him. I'm going to send my son. That's what we're going to celebrate at Christmas. The birth of Jesus was the beginning of a rescue mission. It was when God said, okay, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to save him. They can't fix it. They messed up. It's okay. I love them. I'm going to fix it. You know, you've all got kids, or many of you who have kids. Your kids mess stuff up all the time, right? And you're like, I love them. I'm going to fix it for them anyway, right? So you understand. That's what God was doing. He looked at us and said, oh, come on, I'll fix it. And so he sends his son. He sends his son, Jesus, who lives a perfect sinless life, never once displeases his father, never once steps even an inch outside of God's plan for his life, perfectly accomplishes everything he wants. At the age of 33 years old, he's having dinner with his friends on a Thursday night. Afterwards, they go to one of his favorite places to hang out. He gets arrested. Throughout the night and into the next morning, he has many trials. He's lied about, his best friends betray him. They turn their back on him. They leave. He gets beaten. He has a crown of thorns forced on his head. He's mocked some more. Then he's marched out of town and nailed to a tree. And at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he's hanging there, suffocating, and he dies. And before he dies, he looks to the heaven and he says this. He says, it is finished. And what was finished was the punishment you deserved. What was finished was the death you were born into. Because what God had done is God had taken every sin and every mistake you've ever committed and ever will commit. And every mistake I've ever committed and ever will commit. And every sin ever committed in the totality of the universe. And said, I'm not going to punish them. I'm going to punish my son instead. And his son died so that we could live. And maybe you know the rest of the story. He didn't stay dead. He died on a Friday afternoon. He was buried. Sunday morning, his followers went to go prepare the body, and it was gone. He had been resurrected. The first of many resurrections. Because, see, when we put our faith in Jesus, as Paul's talking about here, for it's by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it's by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. We are saved because not only are we freed from the condemnation God had for us, because Jesus defeated death, it means we can too. And it means once we begin a relationship with Jesus, we no longer have to be slaves to our own selfishness and our own guilt and our own shame and our own desires for our own things, we can actually begin to become like Jesus and love like Jesus and live like Jesus. And that leads to the absolute best life possible. So that is why we say it is through Jesus we have been saved. And my prayer today is, if you're here and you don't believe in God, this might be the first time you've ever heard that truth. And I hope you'll go home and think about it. I'm not saying you're going to change your life today. But think about that. Think about the fact that you can truly begin to be set free from guilt and shame and regret and anxiety and discontentment. That's what Jesus offers. And everyone in this room who has a relationship with Jesus knows that true. And here's the thing I know about every person in the room today who follows Jesus with their life. You would not go back for anything in the world. You would not go back and say, you know what? It was more fun dealing with my marriage by myself. It was much easier parenting my children without Jesus. It was easier dealing with my finances without Jesus. It was easier dealing with stress and fear without Jesus. You know what? I'm good. I don't need you. No. Do you know why? Because Jesus has radically transformed your life for the better. And what Paul's about to show us is that he didn't just do it for you. He wants to play that same role in every person you know. Here's what he says. He says, the scripture tells us, listen to this, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Anyone, yes, even the person you're thinking about right now. Anyone. And then Paul says this. He says, Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect. Now, when Paul was writing to the church in Rome, it was primarily a Jewish audience. And that was a shocking statement. Because what Paul's basically saying is, everybody. This isn't just for you. This isn't just for the church people. This isn't just for the good people that vote the right way and only watch certain movies and only do certain things. This is for everyone. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. You know what that means? That means you've never locked eyes in your entire life with someone Jesus didn't die for. Ever. You've never been cut off in traffic by somebody Jesus didn't die for. Think about that for a second. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now just think about that for a minute. Isn't that encouraging? Doesn't that give you some hope? You know, man, God's done this in my life. God's changed me. I'd never go back. Man, God can do the same thing in everybody's life I know. Everybody. God can do this. And that's what Paul's trying to get you to think about. God's trying to think, man, think about all that God's done for you. Remember that. But no, God can do this in everybody's life that you know, because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then Paul begins to ask a series of questions. A series of questions that are going to lead to the simple act I wanted to talk about today. A series of questions that are going to point to something each and every one of us can do to change someone's life forever. Here's what he says. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And that makes sense. You have to believe it in your heart before your life begins to show it. See, the calling is the outward expression of what's happened in your heart. So if you want to call, you have to believe. And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? That makes great sense as well, right? Well, of course, yeah, Paul, that makes sense. Yeah, I guess they can't really believe in Jesus until they hear about Jesus. And then Paul asks the next question. And the next question is what changes everything. Because the next question points to the step I believe we are all called to take to transform the lives of those around us. Here's what Paul says. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? How can they hear unless someone tells. Hey, people that don't believe in God, now's the time to start watching the Christians because they're squirming. Because they think I'm about to tell them to go stand on a street corner with a bullhorn and tell people about Jesus. I am not. But think about that. How can they hear unless someone tells them? Before you even start freaking out and thinking I'm about to tell you to go witness to people, because that's what the Christians are thinking, I want you to think about something else. Don't think about what God's calling you to do. Think about what God's done for you. Don't think about who you can tell. Think about who told you. Because somebody did. Somebody introduced you to Jesus. Someone told so you could hear, so that you could believe, so that you could call. Who was it? Was it a parent? Was it a friend? Was it a sibling? Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a student worker. Maybe it was your Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was a stranger. Maybe it was the dude with the bullhorn at Broadway at the beach. I doubt it, but maybe it was. Think about that. Think about the fact that somebody played the role. Please hear me. Jesus changed your life. They didn't change your life. Jesus changed your life. But they played a role. They introduced you to Jesus. They started your story. So think about it. If you have the ability, maybe this afternoon or tomorrow, shoot them a text. Give them a call and just say thank you. Thank you for playing your role and changing my life. And then because someone did it for you, I believe God is calling us to now do that for someone else. I mean, why not, right? Because someone played that role in your life. Shouldn't you play that role in someone else's? And see, Paul knows you're teetering. You're saying, yeah, they did it for me, but I'm not gifted with that. I don't know what I should do. So Paul makes it very clear. He says, and how will anyone go and tell without being sent? If you've read or heard any of the stories of Jesus' life, especially after his resurrection and when he was ascended to heaven, you know that Jesus has sent all of us. You know, one of our core values as a church, we talk about all the time at Wellspring, is that we're rescued people that rescue people. We're rescued people. We've been saved. We did not save ourselves. Jesus saved us. And when he saved us, he freed us to help him save others. And we are rescued people that rescue people. We've all been sent. We've all been charged with sharing the news. Paul calls us Christ's ambassadors. He says we speak for Jesus when we plead, come back to God. So each and every one of us, if our lives have been changed by God, have been called by God, to be used by God, to change other people's lives through God. So how will they hear unless someone tells them? How will they go unless they're sent? I guess that's my goal today, is to let you know that you've been sent. And to let you know as you go, heaven is going with you. And the Holy Spirit is going with you. And God is going with you. And God is being blessed by what you're doing. Here's how Paul ends it. He says this. He says, this is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Now see, this verse is very special to me. Each weekend when I'm backstage before each service, I kind of have a pregame ritual that I go through. It's a kind of a prayer thing, and I'm not going to tell you all of it because I'm just not. But I begin it this way. Every single week standing backstage, I pray these words. I say, Heavenly Father, your word says, how beautiful are the feet that bring the good news. May my feet be beautiful today as I deliver the truth of your Son, Jesus Christ. That is how I'll begin every week preparing to come out here, because what I do out here is serious. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the message of Jesus Christ. And my prayer for each and every one of you as you leave this place is that you will walk out with beautiful feet and that you will be ready to share the message of Jesus Christ, that you will be ready to share what was shared with you, that you will be ready to take the step that someone took for you. So here's my challenge for you today. I want you to think on this question. I want you to think on this as you leave today. I want you to think on it this afternoon. I want you to think on it as you're driving in your car. I want you to think on it as you are going back to work tomorrow. For those of you that have to go back to work tomorrow, which I have to go back to work tomorrow, so we're all going back to work. Y'all know pastors work more than one day a week, right? We really do. I know some of y'all don't think we do, but we do. Think about it as you see your neighbors. Think about who changed your life. Think about who spoke to you. Think about who introduced you to Jesus. And then I want you to answer this simple question. Will I do for them what someone did for me? At work, with your buddy that you know is struggling, his marriage is falling apart, and you don't really know what to say. Will I do for them what someone did for me? To your sister who just can't get it together. Your brother. Yeah, you know which one I'm talking about. Your neighbor. Your friend. And you've always argued with yourself, well, they know what I believe. They know. And if they were interested, they'd ask. Well, is that how it worked for you? Did someone wait for you to ask? Or did they tell you? Because until someone tells, how would they even know to ask? Because Paul says you can't call until you believe. And you can't believe until you hear. And you can't hear until somebody tells. That's Paul's order, not mine. So this week, with Christmas Eve coming up, will I do for them what someone did for me? Will I step into the gap and play my role in changing someone's story for eternity? Because that's what you're doing. 6 months from now, 5 years from now, 20 years from now, what will their story be? Will their story be, yeah, 2014 was another Christmas that came and went and nothing changed? Or will their story be, Christmas of 2014 is when God changed my life forever and I would never go back. And I am so grateful for that person that took that step. And I know some of you, man, you are freaking out because when you think about sharing your faith, you don't know what to say. You're afraid they're going to ask you questions about problems in the Bible, and they're going to bring all this stuff up they saw on television. Let me set you free today. Remember I said this will take about 30 seconds, 45 at the most. Here's your challenge. Here's what I believe God is asking each of us at Caldwell Spring Home to say. It's so simple. It's short enough to fit in a tweet. I know because I checked yesterday. Here's your challenge. Look at people. What I'll do for them, someone did for me. What is that? It's this right here. Tell them this. God is changing my life through this church, and I think you would love it. Will you join me on Christmas Eve? And some of you are thinking, yeah, but don't I have to talk about the steps, and don't I have to talk about Jesus and the blood and the lamb and all that kind of stuff? No! No! God is changing my life through this church. That's my story. God's changing me. I think you would love it. He can change you. Will you join me on Christmas Eve? Because on Christmas Eve, they're going to tell you about Jesus. That is evangelism. For the few church people that know what that word means. That is. You walk around, you saying that, beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. You don't have to have a bullhorn. You don't have to have a track. You don't have to get out a napkin and draw on it. Anybody get that joke? That's a very Baptist joke. But God is changing my life through this church. And I think you would love it. Will you join me on Christmas Eve? What's scary about that? See, that's what Satan does, man. We talk about Satan a lot, but I hate his guts, and he hates your guts. And he tries to trick us because once we become Christians, he really wants to, you know, kind of take away all our power and all our energy and all things God wants to do through us. And so what Satan convinces you of is you don't know how to share your faith. You don't know how to talk about God. Shut up. You can't talk about God to people. What if they ask you questions? Yeah, he's a liar. He's a liar. You serve the God of the universe. You don't think he can, like, you know, handle a few mistakes? Have you ever read the four Gospels? Those guys were morons. He had 12 guys that messed up every single time. And 2,000 years later, everybody knows his name. Because all he's asking is for us to step into the gap. God is changing my life through this church. And I think you would love it. Will you join me on Christmas Eve? And here's what you're going to find. Here's what you're going to discover. Here's what you're going to see. What begins with an invitation ends with a transformation. And the way I know it's true is because so many of you in the room began your journey with an invitation. You didn't invite somebody else. They invited you. They had been praying for you. And your life has been changed. Same God. Same God who changed you wants to change the world around you. And he's just decided to move through you to do it. So this week, as you're going about your day-to-day lives and as you see your friends and your family, your neighbors and your coworkers, just remember this question. Will I do for them what someone did for me? And know that your church is behind you. Know that we are doing everything in our power to help you. We are trying to make it so easy to invite people to Christmas Eve. We have commercials on television. We have social media blitzes like crazy. On your way out today, you're going to get invite cards. And we have a double-sided billboard on 501. If you can't invite people to that, I can help you. And if you were there last year, man, you know it was fantastic. And it's going to be better this year, I promise. And it's all for one reason. It's not about House of Blues. It's not about cool lights. It's not about any of that. It's about finding a place your friends are going to hear when they say, I'm sorry, what? You're doing a Christmas Eve service at the House of Blues? Like the House of Blues Blues? Like at Barefoot Landing House of Blues? Really? And here's what they're all thinking. Are y'all going to serve alcohol? Don't answer it, by the way. Don't answer. Just don't answer. Say, got to come find out. Don't answer. I'm not answering it. I'm not going to tell y'all. Will I do for them what someone did for me? It's a simple act. I could change eternity with this simple phrase. God is changing my life through this church, and I think you would love it. Will you join me on Christmas Eve? And guess what? Next week, change it to this Sunday. And then change it to next Sunday. And then change it to Easter Sunday. You can change it. But it's all about God's changing me. You'd love it. Will you join me? Will you come with me? Take that step. Somebody took it for you. Take that step. Take it this Christmas. And change someone's story forever. It's why we do what we do. Let me pray for you. God, we just love you so much. We thank you that you've chosen to move through us to transform the world around us, Father. We thank you that you have empowered us to go out as your representatives, to speak to a world that desperately needs you. Father, I pray right now that you put faces, you put names, you put hearts on our heart, and that we will not stop until we have invited them to join us this Christmas so they could hear the truth of your Son. Once they hear it, may they believe it. And once they believe it, may they call on you. And may they be saved. And may their lives be radically transformed like you've done with us. Father, we love you and we thank you that you allow us to participate with you in your mission of rescuing humanity. It is a privilege and honor to serve you. It's in your Son's amazing name we pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm Trey Kelly, and I'm the pastor of Wellspring Church.
And I'm Danielle Kelly. We would love to invite you to spend Christmas Eve with us this year at the House of Blues.
We'll have two identical Christmas shows at 4 and 6 p.m. right here in the iconic House of Blues. We'll have great music and an inspiring message. It'll be a night your family will never forget.
We hope you'll start a new family tradition by spending Christmas Eve with Wellspring Church.
You can get your free tickets right now at wellspringchurch.tv. We hope to see you and your family this Christmas Eve at the House of Blues.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.